Our scripture reading tonight is a selection of Proverbs. We begin reading at Proverbs 13, verse 24. This is a brief selection of Proverbs that give biblical and practical wisdom and instruction concerning the parental calling to discipline our covenant children. So we will read a few of these Proverbs. We begin at Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now we turn to Proverbs 22, verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15 will serve as our text, though we will connect our text with the other Proverbs that we read tonight. So Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Next, we turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. In the last few verses of Proverbs that we read now is in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verses 15 through 17. Beginning with verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. This concludes our reading from the book of Proverbs. Let's turn back to Proverbs 22, verse 15, which will serve as the text. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Beloved congregation, in our topical series on the Christian home, we have come to the subject of parenting, a very expansive topic, one that we only hit a couple of the highlights of and touch upon some of the broad contours of the parents' calling to bring up their children. And we began our consideration of this important topic in the last sermon on Ephesians 6, verse 4, where we saw that the parents' calling is to bring up God's children for their Heavenly Father. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, we heard the calling that really, in a concise way, summarizes parenthood. And that calling is to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God entrusts His children to covenant parents and calls those parents to bring them up unto Him, to nurture and admonish them, and to prepare them thereby for life with Him. Parenting is theological and God-centered. The Christian parent is given the very high and beautiful calling of training one of God's precious children for life with their Heavenly Father. We saw also last time the comforting truth that it is God, the eternal Father of His elect children, that ultimately raises and brings up each one of His elect children. He uses us as parents as His choice means. But He is the one who brings up His children And that is a comfort to us because we as parents are weak and sinful. And when we're honest with ourselves, we see our sins and we see our weaknesses, even as they come through in our parenting. And the truth of the Word of God comes and comforts us and says, God is pleased to use you, weak parents that you are, and He blesses your faithful labors to raise your children. We saw from Ephesians 6 verse 4 how expansive the calling of parents is. And if you recall, we broke it down really into three of its main components. Parenting is teaching our children the Word of God and the ways of God's covenant. Parenting is training our children in the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, modeling for them the Christian life, leading them, shepherding them. And parenting is discipline of our children, the activity of restraining and correcting their sin, turning them from sin and turning them to paths of righteousness. Teaching, training, and discipline all in the context of a covenant relationship of love for our children with a view to the glory of God summarizes the parent's calling. But now tonight in our second and final sermon on Christian parenthood, we're going to focus on that third main aspect of parenting, discipline. And we do so because, in some respects, this is one of the most challenging parts of parenthood. And also, the Word of God is full of rich instruction for us covenant parents concerning the discipline of our children. And Proverbs is a book of the Bible that is outstanding in this regard. The book of Proverbs is the practical wisdom of God for the practical realities of everyday life. And the Proverbs then that we have read speak very practically to us tonight about the discipline of our children. They set before us the proper way in which we are to discipline our children, especially our young children. The prescribed method and tool that God gives us is His rod and His word. And the rod and the word together are the tools of discipline. It goes without saying that this is a very challenging part of parenthood. We Christian parents want to do it right. We desperately want to do it right. It's hard to know sometimes what to do, especially when there are difficult situations in our families and in our parenting. And so we need to hear this instruction from the Word of God so that it can shape our understanding about our calling towards our children, inform how we discipline our children faithfully according to the Word of God, and also encourage us in this challenging task. We remember that weak instruments that we are instruments, parents, in the hands of Almighty God. He is pleased to use us and our disciplinary work for the good and maturing and upbringing of His covenant children. And so there's a precious and important word for parents tonight, an encouraging word. And there's also a word for you children, little boys, little girls here in the congregation. These passages from Proverbs probably aren't your favorite passages to hear a sermon on. They have an important word of God for you. These verses in the Bible tell you about why mom and dad have to discipline you when you sin. Because they're raising you for God, so that you will grow up to glorify God and learn to obey God. Their discipline is in love. They do it because they love God and they love you. And your calling, children, is to receive that discipline from mom and dad. They do it for your good. And so there's a word of God for all of us here tonight. Parents especially, but children also, and all of us who live in Christian families who may be of help to Christian parents in the raising of their children. So let's consider these Proverbs, especially Proverbs 22 verse 15, under the theme, discipline with the rod of correction. Notice in the first place, children's heart problem. Secondly, God's effective remedy. And third and finally, parents' loving duty. Proverbs 22 verse 15 teaches us that every child, every covenant regenerated child is born with a serious spiritual heart problem. The text identifies the heart problem as this: foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so to understand the heart problem of our covenant children, we have to understand what the proverb is talking about when it speaks of foolishness. Foolishness is folly. Foolishness here refers to willful, rebellious sinfulness. We must understand that when the text speaks about foolishness bound up in the heart of the child, the text is not speaking about a child's immaturity. Our children, especially our young children, are immature. That means they have not fully developed physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They are children. And they have childlike simplicity about them, a simple understanding of the world, simple childlike reasoning and emotions and all of the rest. They are immature. And part of the parent's calling then is, according to the Word of God, to raise their children to full maturity according to the Word of God. The foolishness that is bound up in the heart of a child is not their immaturity. Foolishness, biblically defined, is willful, rebellious, sinfulness, disobedience, and self-centeredness. And this comes out when we pay attention to the broad themes of the book of Proverbs, and all of Scripture, in fact. One of the main themes in the book of Proverbs is the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. And the foolishness that is contrasted with wisdom is the foolishness of sin. Wisdom, on the one hand, is the right application of the truth of God to your life. That's what wisdom is. It's taking the truth of God and applying it practically to every circumstance of your life and then living according to that truth. To put it another way, true spiritual wisdom is recognizing God-determined reality and then conforming your whole life to that God-determined reality. That is wisdom. The wise man is the man who conforms himself to God and God's will and God's word. Foolishness, on the other hand, as it comes out in the book of Proverbs, is recognizing one's own desires and trying to conform reality to oneself. Folly is trying to conform the truth of God and rejecting that truth, trying to conform it to the way I want things to be, the way I want to live. Foolishness is willful, rebellious, sinful rejection of God and His truth, and striving to create a new self-centered reality. It's trying to conform reality to my desires and what I want. The fool is a slave then. He is a slave to sin, who thinks that disobeying God is freedom and fulfillment. We see then that sin at its heart is utter folly, for it is self-deception that ends in utter ruin. The fool is the man who loves sin, who lives in sin, who lives for sin. He is the man whose life is controlled by his own lusts and desires. He lives for self. He lives for self-gratification, and he seeks to conform everything to his own desires. That is the fool. If you want to see how foolish sin is, go back to the beginning, to the first sin of our parents, Adam and Eve. Their utter folly is on display. Adam and Eve reject God's truth and seek to conform reality to their own desires. If you want to put it very simply, what is foolishness? Foolishness is trying to be God, trying to be your own God. That was the sin of Adam and Eve, and that's the sin of each and every one of us, according to our sinful natures. We want to be our own God instead of God. That's foolishness. The folly of sin. Now, where does this foolishness come from? Our covenant children are born with this heart problem. They have this foolishness of sin, this foolish, rebellious sinfulness bound in their hearts. Where does it come from? Well, the answer to that is that it comes from us, parents. And we got it from our parents, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's the doctrine of original sin. We are born in sin. David, as he says in Psalm 51, verse 5, confesses this about himself. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We confess that about ourselves, and we also confess that about our children. Parents, behold, your children were shapen in iniquity, and in sin you conceived them. And that's humbling, because it shows us that the heart problem of our children is a heart problem they inherited from us. We are no different. We were children once who needed to have foolishness driven out of our hearts, and we still have some of that foolishness in our hearts. Because as long as we have that old man of sin, we have this foolishness. More and more, by the word of God and discipline, that foolishness is restrained, but it sometimes breaks forth in our lives too. So we understand. We don't parent from a high pedestal. We have the same sinful nature that our children have. They got that sinful nature from us. That humbles us. We have the same heart problem. But that also then gives us understanding as to how to parent our children. We want to seek to help them overcome and restrain and put away this heart problem, even as we in our Christian lives strive to do the very same thing. And so our parenting aims to eventually equip our children to fight the good fight of faith, to fight against their sinful nature themselves. But when they are young, they are less able to do this of themselves. And that's where our parenting work becomes so important. We parent children who have foolishness bound in their hearts. Now let's look more closely then at this heart problem. We've identified it as foolishness. We see that this foolishness comes from the fall of the human race into sin, that it's received from us as parents. Now let's look more closely at what the text says about this foolishness. It says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Notice where this foolishness is seated. In the heart. What's the heart? The heart is the center of the human person. The heart is the wellspring of our inner and outer life. The heart is the center and source of a person's thinking, willing, speaking, doing, and feeling. As the heart is, so is the man. As the heart is, so is the child. This means that in parenting our children, we're not dealing with a surface-level problem. It's not simply bad behavior that we are trying to get rid of and train them to behave good. We have to go deeper than that. To the heart. Christian parenting is directed at the heart. We can only really get to our children if we get to the heart. The teaching, the training, and the discipline that we parents are to administer to our children has that as its aim, to get at the heart. And that shows us then how deeply ingrained this foolishness is in the heart of a child. And the text emphasizes that. Look at the wording of the text. Foolishness is not merely found in the heart of a child, it is bound in the heart of a child. You picture a tangled, twisted knot that's tightly tied together. That's foolishness and the heart of the child, the heart of our covenant child. It's not just that foolishness sits there in the heart, it's bound in the heart, embedded, ingrained, firmly fixed and rooted there. Sinful folly is not something we simply grow out of. It's not something that's going to be easily pushed away, as if it were a surface-level problem. It's bound in the heart of the child. And that means that this stubborn heart problem can only be driven away, as the text says. Driven away by concerted, consistent effort to drive it out. This folly is ingrained in the nature. That's why parenting is so challenging. That's why discipline is so challenging. Over years of instruction, training, and discipline, God drives out this foolishness from the heart of the child, but it is hard work. So this text requires that we as Christian parents adopt a sober and realistic view of parenthood. It's not an easy task. And we mustn't expect that if we simply follow perhaps some step-by-step formula for discipline and for raising our children, that it's going to produce little angels. That's not going to be the case. We're wrestling with a sinful nature here. We must understand that. But that understanding then also encourages us and comforts us when parenting is hard. That's what we expect. That's what we expect. When we have a child, perhaps a young child, that is misbehaving and very difficult, sometimes our tendency is to wonder, perhaps I'm just making a mess of things as a parent. We must remember, we're dealing with the sinful nature of a child in which foolishness is bound. It takes time, energy, and the grace of God using all of those means to drive it out. So rely on the Lord in your parenting. Trust in Him and engage in that hard work. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That is the spiritual heart problem of our children. But God provides an effective remedy for the foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child. And that effective remedy is biblical discipline. The foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child, the text says, must be driven far from him. And what is the means that God gives to drive out that foolishness? The means is discipline, specifically the rod. And the rod in conjunction with the word. So now let's first look at discipline generally before we look more closely at the specific form of discipline that the text teaches, the rod and the word. What is discipline? Well, discipline is the process of parents addressing and correcting their children's sinful behavior and training them in the ways of righteousness. That is what discipline is about. When you discipline your child, that's your aim. You're focused on God, and you want to curtail, restrain, and turn a child from sin. Why? Not simply because sin is bad for you, or it's a behavior you don't like, but because that sin is an offense to God. And that's what you teach your child. This is wrong not because it upset Mom, though it may have, but because it's a sin against God and His law. Discipline then is carried out according to the law of God. God's word is the standard of our discipline. But discipline doesn't only have a negative side, turning a child from sin. Discipline also is intended to give positive direction, shaping direction to our children as we bring them up, to direct them in the ways of righteousness. And the word of God serves for that. Think of 2 Timothy 3:16-17, how the God-breathed scriptures are profitable for teaching, doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The whole process of discipline is centered on the word of God. The word is the standard, the word is the means in conjunction with the rod. And we'll see that more in a moment. And so the text here teaches us the necessity of good biblical discipline. The necessity is that foolishness is bound up in the heart of our child or children. To see why this remedy, this discipline of God is so necessary, let's think for a moment what happens. What happens when children are not disciplined? And when this foolishness that is bound in their hearts is not driven from them, the results are disastrous. This comes out when we look at the parallelism in Proverbs 22, verse 5. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. From the parallelism, then, we get the idea that if the rod is not used to drive it far from him, that foolishness will remain. But it won't simply remain, it will also grow and develop as the child grows and develops. The foolishness isn't going to remain the same. It's going to grow. And the scriptures then teach that a child who is left to himself without discipline will come to ruin. We read Proverbs 29 verse 15. Let's revisit that passage. Proverbs 29 verse 15, there we read this. Proverbs 29 verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. And then also Proverbs 23 verse 14. Hear this proverb in a very, very striking way. Sets before us the end of the undisciplined child whose foolishness only grows and whose foolishness is never driven out. Proverbs 23 verse 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. The implication is that many perish because of lack of discipline. Their lives develop according to the natural foolishness of the heart, and that heart problem with which they are born ends up destroying them. And so that sets before us the necessity of disciplining, faithfully disciplining our children. It is the means that God has appointed and which He uses to progressively drive out the inborn foolishness from the hearts of our children. That's discipline generally, but now let's narrow in on the specific form of discipline that our text teaches. Discipline with the rod. Back to Proverbs 22, verse 15. The second part, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction. The rod functioning with the Word of God. Those are the two tools in the parent's toolbox for discipline. Let's look at those two now. First, the rod of correction. The rod refers here to simply what we think about when we think of a rod. It refers to a wooden stick or a paddle that is then used in discipline, that is used to strike the backside of the child in a disciplinary situation. That's what the Proverbs are referring to when they speak about beating with a rod. Now we must of course understand that when the text, Proverbs 23 in particular, uses that word beat, it is not giving parents the permission to abuse their children. It is not giving parents permission to hit their children whenever they are irritated with them. It is not giving parents permission to treat their children harshly. Nothing more is meant by that word beat than that the rod is used to strike in a disciplinary situation. It's referring to a controlled, careful stroke delivered with the appropriate amount of force so that some pain is inflicted without doing any harm to the child being disciplined. Text indicates then that the rod is not a tool that parents may use as they please. It's a tool of discipline given by God to be used as God directs. It's to be used to give physical punishment. This doesn't mean that this is the only kind of discipline parents may use with their children. There are other forms of discipline, taking away privileges perhaps, or other penalties that might be fitting for the sin that a child committed. But what the text does indicate is that this physical form of punishment is to be used. This is a biblically mandated form of discipline. The rod. The rod. Now we understand, of course, that as our children grow older, this method of discipline will become less effective and less appropriate. It is primarily intended for disciplining young children. We understand that. But this is not simply something Christian parents may choose to do or not. The Word of God sets this forth as the biblical method for disciplining our children, the rod. But the rod must also be used with the Word. With the Word. That comes out in the text when the text describes the rod as a rod of correction. That is what the rod is aiming at. It is aiming at correcting the child. And for the rod to correct the child must understand his sin. The child must understand why this discipline is being administered. And the child must understand the purpose for this discipline. And that is communicated to the child through the Word. Particularly speaking the Word of God to the child along with the administration of the rod. But also in Proverbs 29, verse 15, we're told that the rod and reproof give wisdom. Reproof, the Word. And so rod and Word go together. We want to understand that. Rod and Word go together. And they must go together. If discipline then is to achieve the goal, the biblical goal that it is to have, correction. Correction and the growth of the child in the way of righteousness. This is how the rod drives foolishness out of the hearts of our children. The rod and the Word together drive foolishness out of the heart of the child by imparting to the child biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom, the beginning of which is the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs 9 verse 10 says. The rod teaches about sin. The rod teaches that there are consequences for sin. And the Word of God teaches the same. The Word with the rod also teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. These things together are the means by which we correct the sins of our children, direct them to the cross of Christ, and train them in the ways of righteousness. As we apply the rod and the Word, that means is used by God to impart wisdom. Wisdom, true wisdom to the child that drives out the foolishness bound up there. Only God can drive out that foolishness. But He uses parents. And He uses the means of their discipline with the rod and the Word. So we see then that this remedy that God gives us is an effective remedy. It is. The rod and the Word functioning together correct our children and bring forth growth in our children. Discipline is training in righteousness, and discipline turns the child from sin, but discipline also trains the child to deal with his sin. Through discipline and instruction, we parents teach our children about their sinful natures. We teach them about their need for grace and for salvation. Faithful discipline more and more trains the child in the discipline of self-control, so that as a child grows and matures, he more and more, by the grace of God, learns to exercise self-discipline and take upon himself the fight against his sinful nature. Training in righteousness by means of the rod and the Word. Our discipline as Christian parents is really an activity of discipling our children. We're shaping them, guiding them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. That means the foolishness in their hearts must be driven out, and it must be replaced with the wisdom of Christ, a teachable spirit, a spirit submissive to the Word of God. By these means, God brings up His children into mature, willing followers of Jesus Christ. That's the rod and the Word, the rod and Word of correction, the means given to parents to drive out the foolishness bound in the heart of a child. But now to conclude the second point, I want to give a few practical applications concerning the use of the rod and the Word. doing this with the understanding that it takes much sanctified wisdom and common sense on the part of parents to apply these principles of Scripture. There's no step-by-step procedure or formula. You as covenant parents, use your God-given wisdom to administer the rod and the word, and the Lord will bless it. And yet, drawing from these principles laid out in the Proverbs, we can say a few things, a few practical applications about how we are to apply the rod in the discipline of our children and how to do so effectively. So briefly, I call your attention to four applications of the principle. First, good discipline requires the timely use of the rod and the word. And by that word timely, I mean it should be used right away. When the child is disobedient and has committed a sin that requires this discipline, God prescribes this disciplinary tool to be used for willful disobedience. And whenever the child willfully disobeys a clear and understood instruction or rule that you have set down in your house, the rod is an appropriate disciplinary measure to be used. But it is important that that discipline come swiftly, right away, timely. And this is because when the rod is not used right away, a child quickly learns that he can push you, mom, you, dad. He can push you just so far. He can get away with some disobedience. And this ends up teaching him that obedience is not an absolute necessity. It's flexible. But when the rod is administered carefully in a controlled, loving manner, but in a timely way, it teaches our children the important truth that obedience is not negotiable. Obedience is not negotiable with God. He gives us His word, His law, and we must obey and submit to Him. And our children learn to obey and submit to God through their obedience and submission to us as parents. And so the timely use of the rod not only helps train our children to be obedient and to be obedient right away, but it trains them in the importance of obeying God. Second application, consistent use of the rod. Not only timely, but consistent. And by consistent, we mean use the rod and the word whenever there is disobedience, not just when it's convenient or when we've had it, but consistently. We talked about this a little bit in the last sermon on parenthood. Why is consistency so important? Because inconsistency undercuts our discipline. When we are inconsistent, we inadvertently teach our children that disobedience is fine sometimes, but you can't predict when it's going to be okay and when it's not. And that's confusing for a child. But it also leaves the impression with the child that discipline isn't grounded on the Word of God. It's not an absolute thing, but it's really based on mom and dad's mood. And so consistency is also very important in the application of the rod in discipline. Timely, consistent. Third, fair and controlled use of the rod. We understand that the rod should never be used out of anger and frustration. Never as a means to get back at our children. Sometimes our children may occasion a lot of anger and frustration. We have to take a step back and cool down for a moment so that we are controlled and cool when we administer the necessary discipline with the rod. Not only to make sure that we don't accidentally do harm, but this is important for teaching our children. When our children receive discipline from us and they see us in a rage of anger, it communicates to them that what's wrong about their action was that it made you mad, more than that it was a sin against God. Our children's sins are our sins against us as parents. But that's not the ultimate thing. We always must be pointing them to the fact that their sins are sins against God, and that we discipline them because God calls us to, because they need to be trained in obedience to God. So it's important that we administer the rod in a fair and controlled way for the good of the child, and so that the child is taught about obedience to God. Fourth and finally, and perhaps the most important of these applications, a gospel-centered use of the rod. And this is expanding on the idea of the rod and the word functioning together. Parents, disciplining your children is unpleasant. Most of the time, if not all of the time, you don't like to have to do it. We don't like bringing the rod to bear against our children. But view those disciplinary situations this way. They are some of the best opportunities to teach and powerfully apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to our children. Consider the familiar example that I well imagine all of you parents have gone through. Your child has been disobedient, pushed you to the limits, and so the rod has been administered. But then you take your child in your lap, wipe away his tears. You talk to him. You've explained to him why you had to give him that spanking, his sin against God. But now, as he's clinging to you for comfort, and as you talk to him lovingly, you have an opportunity to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord Jesus Christ has died for your sins and mine, and how in Christ there is forgiveness, and that God gladly and graciously forgave that sin, and how you as mom or dad forgives that sin also. You see, what such a disciplinary situation does is it gives you an opportunity to lead your child to the cross of Christ. It gives you an opportunity when the child is vulnerable and open to your words as you're comforting him. It gives you an opportunity to train that child in the fundamental biblical process of confessing sin, repenting of sin, going to the cross for forgiveness, and then leaving the cross forgiven and joyful and at peace. Explain the gospel to your child, and then you go out from the room where the discipline was administered, and it's done. It's over with. And the child is happy. You are happy. You're reconciled. The gospel is pictured there. And it teaches the child in a powerful way. Let that help us, parents, in the difficult discipline situations we sometimes have. View it as an opportunity to bring the gospel to your beloved child and apply it to him. We come to the third point, parents' loving duty. Everything that we have been talking about so far is the duty of the parents. God has given you parents your covenant children, and he calls you to drive the foolishness from their hearts using the means of teaching and discipline with the rod and the word. It's a duty, and it's a hard one at that. For strength in this calling, we must rely on the Lord and trust in him. He gives us the grace to do it. And trusting in him, then we must use the tools that he has given us. Very easily, we're prone to try to develop our own methods of discipline or turn to the philosophies of the world. The world has all sorts of philosophies about how to raise and how to discipline children. And they're hostile to the Christian faith, hostile to the Word of God. We must resist the trends of our day. Trust in the Lord. The tools he gives you are sufficient. The rod and the word. Carry out your duty in dependence on God. The thing to emphasize here is that this is a loving duty. A loving duty. discipline is one of the greatest acts of parental love. Often it doesn't seem that way. Parents, when you're administering discipline, sometimes deep love isn't what you're thinking about. Little children, when you're receiving the spanking from mom and dad, you might not be thinking, mom and dad loves me right now. But both parents and children, that's how we are to view discipline. It's love in action. What is love? Love is not, first of all, a good feeling, though love has a powerful emotional element. Love is seeking and desiring and pursuing and doing good to the one you love. And that's what you do, parents, when you discipline your children. You are seeking their good. Because you know the child left to himself comes to ruin. Proverbs 13 verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or chasteneth him diligently, we might say. A lack of discipline, that proverb identifies as hatred for one's child. Now, there are some who simply do not care about their children. They hate their children, and so they don't bother to discipline. But that's not so much the case in the church. We love our children. Sometimes the difficulty of discipline may keep our hand back, or make us uneasy, or hesitant to carry out this biblical duty. You must remember, love demands it. In the moment, sparing the rod may seem like the more loving thing to do, but ultimately it's not. Love seeks the child's growth, development as a child of God. Love keeps in view God and His glory. Love keeps in view that your child is a child of God who must be trained in righteousness. Love keeps in view that the best thing for your child is to have that foolishness driven out and the wisdom of God imparted. And so love, though love is always tender, always gentle, always kind, always compassionate, never harsh, never cruel, never inflexible, nevertheless, love is faithful and diligent in disciplining with the rod and the word. So be confident, parents, in your discipline of your children. Communicate to them your love for them, even as you discipline them. And children, when mom and dad have to discipline you, it's because they love you. And God is showing His love for you through them. Remember that. Don't get mad at mom and dad. Receive that discipline. It's for your good. And when you get older, you'll see it. You'll see it. How good it was for you. Discipline is a loving duty. And it's a loving duty that brings forth good fruit when it is diligently carried out. And that's Proverbs 29 verse 17. Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. All the hardship, challenges, struggles, raising children. How great and worth it is. Here's the fruit. The fruit that God brings forth through your diligent efforts, used by Him. Rest and delight. And is that not the case? We taste that rest and delight all throughout the years that our children are raised. The beautiful covenant relationship that we have with our covenant children. And then when they grow up and they're old, they're adults. They live in the church. We see them take their place. We see the good fruit of the Lord's work through us. Rest and delight. Hang on to that promise of God, parents. Carry out your loving duty for the good of your children, for the glory of God. May God give us His grace to do so. Amen. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word. A word about a challenging subject. A word that addresses a very difficult aspect of the calling of those who are parents here tonight. And yet a word that has much practical wisdom. Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless the parents in our congregation. That Thou wilt use the word to strengthen them, to teach and to train and to discipline their children in paths of righteousness and for the glory of Thy name. And Father, bless the children of our congregation as they grow up in the community of faith and as they grow up in good Christian homes. Shape them and mold them by the training and the teaching and the discipline of their parents to be men and women of the Lord Jesus Christ. And give grace to our children too that they may receive the discipline that we as parents give. And that together as families then we may all grow in grace. We thank Thee for the joys and the blessings that we have in our families. Though our families have problems and troubles, every family does. Yet there are rich joys and delights. We know these are gifts from Thee. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. The gospel which shapes our life. The gospel which is the source of this joy and all of these good things. Bless us through the gospel, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.